프라이드 저는 안 할 거.
Alright, okay. I think what we need to do is to ensure that the rally is not here in the National Assembly, in the old assembly, because that's what it's looking like. Right. And then, so that we can get back to the business of the day. Right. We then have the Financial Sector Campaign Coalition. The chairperson of the Finance Standing Committee did ask everyone to give their name as well. That is their personal name on the ID. I will be asking everyone for it if you don't give it to me. Then I'll cut it off your time. So can we please move to yourself?
Thank you very much, Chair. And good afternoon to everybody.
Just a minute. Can you sit down, please?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Tibello Khatebe. I am the National Coordinator of the Financial Sector Campaign Coalition. And Chair, I will break with the tradition of introducing a delegation here, because I do not have a delegation. But however, from the FSCC, we think of ourselves as having all of you as our members in your individual capacity. So you form part of our delegation in your individual capacity, Chair. Thank you. Just briefly about who we are, Chair. The Financial Sector Campaign Coalition is currently made up of a cross-section of some 50 organizations. These range from churches, trade unions, small business cooperatives, political, women, youth, the disabled, community-based, and non-governmental organizations, with about 450 affiliates or subsidiaries who in all represent up to 10 million individuals, as you said, including yourself. While through one coalition member alone, we indirectly represent the interests and aspirations of the overwhelming majority of the entire 55 million citizens of South Africa countrywide. Chair, our candid view regarding the sector's transformation to date, if we all agree that total transformation means change in form, appearance, nature or character, then we want to state at the outset that we see very minimal change in form in the sector. While from the point of view of appearance, or whether you want to call it perceptions, we note that there are some efforts which we characterize as cosmetic efforts that are aimed at effecting change. In the main, the nature of the sector largely remains unchanged, while the character of the sector is still very much out of kilter with the needs of a majority of the population of a country. Chair, ironically, at its birth, 6 years after the first NEDLAC Financial Sector Summit, the Financial Sector Charter correctly considered that in most economies, the financial sector plays a central role in enhancing growth and development. It further proceeded to commit the sector to make a significant contribution towards economic growth, development, empowerment, and reduction of inequalities and poverty in our society. And to crown it all, the Charter spelled out a series of initiatives envisaged to promote growth in the financial sector. Now, we have already said that we see very little growth. And why? There has been, in our view, so much minimal change. If we take into account the fact that the financial sector in South Africa was indeed established not
law,
yes, to serve the entire population in the country in the first place. Then the current snail's pace of its transformation should not be very surprising. That is, if we agree that the sector was historically formed to serve the growth of the mining sector in the main, as was South Africa's energy sector too, all of which was aimed at simply extracting minerals from the ground for export while benefiting very few among the local population. That is still largely the case today. Now, in the charter, we find certain definitions that are very unhelpful for transformation. For instance, a definition that says whatever that is done should be approached like sound business practice to be observed in BEE transactions. And that BEE transactions should take place on a willing buyer and willing seller basis and so on. And then the charter goes that sound business practice means a practice which is conducive to the establishment. In our view, just those words. Such notions have effectively reduced many charter-based outcomes to simply one party mainly doing another a favor while everything remains as it was. Chair, in our view, other definitions include the once empowered, always empowered mindset, as well as the glass ceiling and limitations determined by government regulations on equity holding, coupled with the most demanding Basel 1, 2, and 3, and other international regulations in banking, have also not assisted to ensure that the racial profiles of the ownership of key sectors indeed get to be meaningfully transformed. Chair, for instance, right now you're sitting with an entity like UBank that has to find additional capital, 185 million, I think that's the figure mentioned sometime. And or you may perhaps even look at the four mutual banks within the sector. Their capitalization needs can, we suspect, lead to a point where they disappear sometime. And hence, the monopoly that we see remaining in the few major ones. Secondly, the inadvertent omission of government developmental financial institutions in the charter flew directly in the face of the first financial charter agreement. This on its own left out many key components of the sector which by their nature should have contributed immensely to transformation. So, Chair, what we're saying there is that you had in the charter all this focus on the previous speakers that were sitting here. But your IDC and your other, government-created financial institutions were left out and do not report in the charter with regard to matters of transformation. I'm terribly sorry about that. One such institution is the Payment Association of South Africa, which is also omitted. That, for us, is a glaring example of the unfortunate omission that we referred to. And as a result, in our view, PASA appears to be a body of gatekeepers who are only hell-bent to at best prevent or at least delay the entry of emergent and small players in the banking sector and thereby maintain the highly monopolized character of the sector. Whether rightly or wrongly, our perception is, for instance, the reason why you have only two cooperative banks at the moment and they are ineffectual, in fact, is because of the onerous compliance requirements that they have to meet, even though, you know, just to become PASA members, for instance. Yes, there is some moves to try to address this matter. Only question is how long will it take? At the same time, Chair, there are noble limited gains that have been made insofar as transformation, and colleagues here have spoken a little earlier about this. For instance, the reversal of the numbers of the unbanked since the charter was formed. I'm sure that is something important. But of course, one of the presenters was also saying here, okay, fine, we now, FinMac tells us that we now have 3 out of every 4 economically active people in the country having bank accounts. But what, how useful are those bank accounts to them? Yes, they have bank accounts.
Might.
However, Chair, the expected promotion of a savings culture in the country has not been accompanied by the growth in access to financial services like that growth in access. What we see is this massive indebtedness amongst the people. Of course, there's a whole lot of people with funeral policies now. We also note a minimal appetite for short-term risk insurance. At the same time, we hear a whole lot of very good intentions around concepts like consumer education, but in the main, they appear to be disguised product marketing if they are not conducted at arm's length from those who are funding it. I would like to mention that, Chair, we think that, for instance, the approach of ASISA is very good in this respect. Sorry?
He's asking what is the approach of ASISA which is good. He missed you there.
Honourable Shivambu, let's let him finish, all right.
Chair, I'm tempted to... What we said in that statement is where funding for consumer education is provided at arm's length, which means when it is not done by the institution that is providing the funding, in the case of ASISA, it is given to a separate different institution. And we think that is more useful than, because it has less elements of marketing a specific product. Chair, some of the outstanding consequences of poor reporting to the...
have 3 minutes left.
Thank you, Chair. The fact that reporting to the charter is minimal, as has been said before, and more work has to be done. In our view, there is no clear account of how well or not the sector has done to achieve the objectives of providing support for transformational infrastructure projects that support economic development in underdeveloped areas and contribute towards equitable access to economic resources, such as transport, telecommunications, waterways, and solid waste energy, or even social infrastructure, such as health, education, and correctional services facilities, municipal infrastructure services. We must just clarify that, Chair, that yes, we heard even earlier, there is a whole lot of money that goes into corporate social investment. CSI, for instance, a presentation earlier mentioned a whole huge number of figures, but we would hope that if these were to be monitored and reported within the charter, because they are outcomes of the charter, Chair. Not that I feel intimidated, we would like to stop at this point. We have submitted a document And thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much as well, but I must point out that most of us have a two-pager. We don't have what is overhead, and I understand that that is yet to come. So let us leave it there and go on to Kasatu, to Matthew Parks. Matthew, if you'll come to the front, please.
Comrade Chair, while Matthew is making its way, I just want to object strenuously to the lack of decorum, Floyd. When the Deputy General Secretary of the Proletariat walked in, the whole house should have stood up. Can you please note that, note taker? But he will explain to us why, as the Deputy Leader of the Proletariat, he was no less, was stopped at the gate by the very proletariat that he's supposed to deputy lead, who said, "Who are you? And can you prove you meant to be here?" Welcome. Fortunately, I'm not chairing. I would have given you 25 minutes, Jones chairing.
Indeed.
I thought that the president of the working class movement is myself only, because
yes.
We represent the working class, the only organization in South Africa.
No, I must remember to bring my garden overalls, but thanks. Indeed, this is a serious matter, and I'm not surprised that people are outside the gates of Parliament, and it shows how important it is. And the fact that you took it so seriously and sent some of your top people from your respective organizations. Having said that, thank you, Matthew, if you would share with us Kasatu's position on the transformation of the financial sector, starting now.
Thanks very much, Chair, and good afternoon to colleagues and members and comrades as well. Yes, my name is Matthew, my surname is Parks. I'm from Kasatu, which does have working class members. Chair, look, I think we want to thank the committee, both committees, for this welcome intervention. It's really long overdue. And I think if you look at the political discourse in the country recently and over the past few years, definitely it's an area of needing great attention. I think there are some areas that, as Kasatu, we support in government's interventions, which I'll come to in a second. But we've also tried to highlight some areas we think needs the attention of government, of parliament, and of the sector and society at large. Chair, I know you've bitten off more than a mouthful with this topic of those public hearings, but I'll try to come to some issues which are of importance to our members on the ground. Chair, look, I think I just want to go back a little bit into the recent past of the Financial Sector Regulation Bill, which we view as a first positive step by government trying to push the sector, so to speak, learning from the lessons of the 2008 economic crisis, the problems of the Africa Bank episode. I think also we appreciated the Reserve Bank's efforts to develop early warning mechanisms and expand the oversight role. Chair, I think we also supported in the efforts, or the Twin Peaks Bill, as it's commonly called, efforts to promote greater transparency in the sector, provide greater coordination for interventions, greater protection for consumers, as well as trying to deal with some of the more opaque banking charges and abuses. I think also lastly on that bill, Chair, that we supported the efforts to try to tighten our crime prevention. And maybe on a small side note, Chair, I think we were pleased with the committee, the Finance Committee's good work to tighten the FICA bill and to find a win-win solution around constitutional rights versus dealing with issues of corruption and money laundering. Chair, I think we would want to say that we hope the NSOP will pass the Twin Peaks bill as soon as possible and not take too long processing it. Chair, then to get into the heart of the discussions today, we tried to just flag some of the key issues from our side. We know literally we could spend weeks here if we wanted to, but for us some of the key issues was one is the very popular term nowadays, monopoly capital. We know it's been kicked all over the show like a soccer ball, but anyway, for us what it really reflects is the issue of excessive concentration of capital in a few small banks and service companies. or what we see as a de facto monopoly of banking, insurance, and service sectors. You know, Chair, nowadays you'll get a lot of adverts for different insurance companies, different names, but they're all owned by the same insurance company. And they even come with very clever adverts on TV. What is named after an animal? He'll give you 7 quotes, all owned by the same company. Just to give one example. I think another example one could give, Chair, is one of our big 4 banks. You'll go to that bank for a loan of 11% for whatever loan you want. They will decline you because you are financially suspect. You will then go to another company which is more generous around its loaning requirements. They'll give you a loan for 25% interest. But that company is owned by the same bank. And surely that has to be an example of monopoly. I think, Chair, also the recent scandal around the Forex collusion is also a very important issue in the collusion amongst banks around charges and so on. I think, Chair, no one is really focused on how much that was the cost of the economy of the Forex collusion a few years ago. What is the cost on import?
How does it have on charge problems and so on? We just need to be content to give the bank a very small fine off the go. I think, Chair, also the kind of the gentleman's agreement, so to speak, amongst the big banks are not aggressively competing for each other's crime. You know, they're going to make a good deal of the situation. Chair, the crisis of the banks are seizing the sector of the economy, and we're also not happy to have foreign versions of our bank. And so on. We're glad the market started to upload the shares. We're hoping that the PFC can then buy those shares and make it up to the bank in the entire team. Chair, I think we must also risk our disappointment governments for taking so long to establish a stable bank to fully flesh out the post bank. But we're hoping this credit crisis on the social plans will help the governments to move us to the speed. I think Sharon would ask on this part, we must also raise what is the contribution of the banking sector to the nation building beyond the free money for homeland. What is the contribution to the reconstruction development of the country? It can't just be simply about profit. Chair, in terms of transformation, I think we also want to highlight the issue of the need for denationalization. Again, in the universal foreign equity set, the top management of banks overwhelmingly white and male. There is a massive wage gap between the banking and we have a CEO of a bank earning 50 million rand a year, and the cashier of the same bank earning 60,000. One of our students is staff coach of banking trade union, and they see a growth of outsourcing amongst the banks. People who are permanent employees for years are now consultants for the same bank. We've seen a rising casualization. I think, Chair, also one useful lesson from the current social grants crisis is a lack of access to banks in your townships, your former areas, and your villages. You may have ATMs in townships, but those ATMs are closed at the 6 o'clock at night. You won't have any ATMs in villages, for example. So, now travel long distances to towns. I think you also want to see the banks give more support for SMEs. Chairman, for Kosovo, our number one crisis is unemployment. We have seen significant growth of jobs in the financial sector, which is a positive, but we really feel the sector could do more to support growth of jobs across the industries and across the economy. We also want to see the role of the Reserve Bank expanded to prioritize job creation. And I think, Chair, we also want to highlight that about 2 years ago, we retrenched about 630 staff in leasing sector and accounting, and after about a year before that, retrenched about 2,000 staff. Now again, we can do this as soon as any company can be allowed to retrench in this crisis of 35% of employees. Chair, look, in terms of the Reserve Bank, we really feel that the Reserve Bank has disappointed us in many ways. We saw that opening of oversight role, around the issue of monopoly capital and banks, the lack of transformation, the issue of price collusion, forex collusion. I think they've also been very soft on the issue of bank charges. And of course, the issue of job creation. Chair, we know the Reserve Bank is up interest rates, but we think they also need to be sensitive to the negative impact of interest rates, either from ordinary consumers, homeowners, small businesses, etc. And then lastly, Chair, we're not prepared to have a broken record there. We're of course the subject of the Reserve Bank to be owned by the state, not to be selling shares on the radiant of the fund balance. It's a threat of the contradiction. Chair, we would like to commend Treasury. For one, to understand that the bill is going to Treasury this year, looking at try to put some control oversight check analysis around bank charges. So I hope this is correct, and it is a very good that. I think we do support the two-piece bill and hope to pass soon. But again, Chair, I think we need to really push the bank on the issue of excessive bank charges. How the interest rates have a hugely negative effect on the economy. I think, Chair, also about 2 years ago, the Chair of the Finance Committee really gave Kosato a tough time around the retirement and utilization issue. Right there on me. And look, yeah, good work is not safe, but if you look at the interest rate that workers get for saving in the bank, it's low inflation. Interest rates given for them, for their return, is less than interest rate charged by the bank for 100. So there's a huge disincentive for workers to go and save. At the same time, they're actually losing money on inflation and so on, which is interesting money to the homeowners. I think in the current situation, if there are more accessible low-income members and small businesses, ways to incentivize savings, I think that, like Comrade Kadebe said before, financial education and empowerment, most persons are very unaware of their rights, consumer rights. I think it would be a medical thing which is actually recently to grow better to understand what comfortable technical issues need. I think more efforts to provide consumer assistance. Chair, we are pleased with the magistrate's bill, the debt collector's bill, and I'm trying to see what the reasons are issued orders. We hope those will pass quickly. But of course, there is a challenge for government to implement those laws. I think Chair also wants to raise the issue of debt orders. Sorry, Chair. About 20 years ago, for banks to operate a debt order, you had to go with a form to the bank itself. Science, everything. Nowadays, the banks don't ask for that. Any company can come and say, well, it's a debit, thousands of years for his account. So those kind of contracts should create a global conversation and legacy between the customer and the company. Because when they want such a customer to go to the bank and to complain about it, either they get hit by the negative precedent for themselves. So this situation is for bank time. The authorization must be given by the customer to the bank, not by the company collecting the money. Chair, I think just coming towards the end, I think we also want to highlight the issue of auctioning of houses or homes, SMEs, farms and cars. We see it often with our members, if they default on a few payments, the banks are quick to repossess those properties. There's often a little collusion between the bank officials repossessing it, the people who auction it, and people who bid on auction for it, for a quick profit or something. So the negative consequence is that ordinary workers lost the house, they won't get another home loan. The family is homeless, they've lost hundreds of thousands of rents, etc., etc. We think it really needs to be tightened up. From a chair, we've put that at the industry, which is part of the theory, and they're really a very progressive technical tool. We think that could be a very important tool in this regard. We want to see that broader national credit regulation expanded. We also want to see chair that loan shop has to be further business. They're nothing but vultures, they're exploiting for desperation. But again, the onus is upon the banking sector to be more accessible for ordinary customers, not just also for the groceries loan shops. I think, Chair, maybe just towards conclusion, we're looking forward to the next financial sector summit, which the party, the WTC, is playing a key role in pushing for it. And we hope also that this hearing can link up with the sector summit and define the banking and service sector playing a key role there. We think it must be a way to find each other. I think that basically Chair is having to be conscious, that there are very stressed about time. And hopefully we have some contributions towards the members' discussion today. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And you certainly saved us some time, Mr. Fox. Thank you. So we can now turn to the South African Communist Party. If you'd like to come up closer, colleague is Mr. Mark Ayer, isn't it? Thank you.
Good afternoon, Comrade Chairperson and members of the House. Let me, just for the sake of time, we just want to indicate that we really appreciate this opportunity to make this presentation, and also that the portfolio committee is convening with Gary. We held or we launched a financial sector campaign together with the trade union as well as the NGO community, like the Society of Black Church and others, under the slogan "Make Banks Serve the People." In 2000, leading to the NEDLAC convened summit on financial sector transformation in August 2002, and one could also hear that the arguments of that summit have been betrayed completely by the sector, and I think it helps in the process that we do not agree. Therefore, it is important that we must indicate that there are critical areas that the summit has agreed which we think need to be revisited, particularly with the possible reconvening of the sector summit this year. Among that, in the nature and character of the entire makeup of the financial sector system, particularly its structure, size, and ownership, we are still concerned that there is massive high cost of financial sector products and charges, which include insurance premiums, banking service fees, and interest, that continues to skyrocket. One critical area relates to the 20-year sentence for compound interest on housing loans, whereas it's different for when you buy a car. And this has been a great disadvantage to the working class. They lose their houses after 8 years of employment, 10 years. And one thing that we have discovered is that insurance companies use that possibility. In fact, they insure the house. But when you lose your job, instead of kicking in insurance to pay off the house, they actually pocket the money, take away the house, and still put the house back in the market. We need to tighten legislation in this regard to make sure that the insurance that is taken on the house is actually able to pay out and keep people in their houses. Other latest failures of the sector to transform rest largely on the commitment by the sector to implement this agreement. We believe that the sector must be compelled for radical changes or appropriate radical changes in this regard. There's an oligopolistic market structure owned by the Big Four and limited entrance by two more investors, as well as Capitec. But the kind of the market structure at the moment is not healthy for the financial sector, both banking in a democracy like ours today. And it is incompatible with our national interest, for instance, to eliminate class, race, and gender inequality, that is so obvious in our society. It is the first part of the drivers of inequality that affect our citizens, especially the workers in the poor and the rural masses. This question of the trust of the market. At the same time, this helps the market to take, this is the default to take the market conduct, given their domination. They always act There are two scenarios that, for instance, we want to point out in this regard, particularly around this market abuse. Despite the fact that the sector itself continues to talk that it is well regulated, in fact, perhaps one of the problems of this sector is its over-regulation. There are almost over 200 legislations in this sector. I think we need to line it and make sure that there is a simplicity in the way in which we deal with the sector. Of course, given the complex nature of modern technology and the transaction that has been technologized, it is important that perhaps some of those regulations are critical, but they need to be streamlined. We can, for instance, also indicate the level of prejudice on consumers, given, for instance, the way in which the market conduct is reflected, the African Bank is a case in point, and was called for stern action to be taken even against the directors of some of these companies, including this case, the African Bank. Particularly because it left on the section of the poor who are most vulnerable, and it expanded the unprotected section of our society to offer easy loans in which they are not able to afford to pay, and they ultimately lose their house and important part of their property. There is also a question of competition in the financial sector, which while is viewed as important for improving efficiency and bringing down cost for consumers, we can argue that this competition has never really brought down price stability or lowering the cost of financial services. To give an example, there was a Basel III report, which also talks questions of transformative nature and measures, which we believe that the committee should consider. Therefore, we submit that regulation must be understood for what they are, that they are man-made obstacles, often with the very same dominant role players financing their development. Therefore, we cannot allow a situation where the financial sector subverts first and foremost the constitutional imperatives of our country and make these trade-offs through regulatory frameworks. Particularly given that we are a developing country, it is therefore important that as part of perhaps enhancing the life and spirit of our negotiations for a democratic transition in South Africa, we should make this question a part of national reconciliation and development to take its prime place in the financial sector transformation. And we also want to draw the members' attention to the Banking Inquiry Panel report, which was released in 2008. It is also important to note that one of the most complications with regard to the market structure is the interrelationship between the ownership of the bank, the insurance companies, and the asset management industry. The asset management industry, for instance, for black banks, have access to only 4.6% of the market share. Or, put differently, black asset managers manage just a mere 408.3 billion rand of the 8.9 trillion rand available in the sector. While there is a sense of black emphasis, what is also critical is public emphasis in this regard. We want to assert that the financial sector charter was a failed promise, and we need to revisit it. Elements of ownership within the highly concentrated financial sector have not been impressive at all. Judging from what was tabled here, particularly by our comrades in the Financial Sector Campaign Coalition, as well as from the proposal, the performance of the sector in this plan is extremely pathetic, to say the least. If you look at management structures, where is the inclusion of black people in general, women and people with disabilities into the sector, particularly at board and management levels, you find that it remains unsatisfactory. The commitments have been there, but they are not being met. We support, obviously, the convening of the second financial sector summit. But we call for this committee to monitor the implementation of the summit agreement. Otherwise, we'll come back again in another hearing. And the bank will come, justify this and that. But nothing was tangible to be done. Therefore, There are suggestions from some other quarters that trade off around ownership targets against access to finance for black industrialists must be elevated for appropriate discussions and policy. What we do know for a fact is that the terms of that finance is always not a public, not always in the public domain, and the banks and the insurance industry take advantage of that space. Basically, to create institutions that they control or even own, even when legislation or a policy framework that is created for diversification is not necessarily meant for them, but it's meant for everybody in the sector as a whole. Access to finance by SMEs and black business in the main remains a major headache in our country. And we think something must be done in this regard. We also have a poorly diversified sector. According to the industry report from the Banking Association, for instance, in 2014, they indicated that, I quote, the SA banking industry is currently made up of 17 registered banks, 2 mutual banks, 14 local branches of foreign banks, 2 cooperative banks, and 43 banks with approved local representative offices. That is for 3 foreign banks. We now know that apart from the Big Four controlling over 8% of the market share of the industry, 49% of them are foreign owned. So this is another critical area of poor capacity for diversifying the sector. We also want to bring to our attention that we support the granting of license for the post bank, all these provisionally, but make a strong call for the expansion of the state-owned or public-owned bank or public-owned banking sector. This public banking sector, in its diversified form, could cover sectors as agriculture, as construction, co-ops and SMEs, with specific policies, differentiated policies, aimed for this sector. The concurrent commercial banks in the main have taken advantage of a universal policy, and the new entrants are not able to participate. That is why we think that particularly for the public sector, because this is for the benefit of the public, there must be a specific policy guideline in this regard. And that one of the functions of the public sector bank will be their commitment to production as well as to development. In this regard, we also want to talk this question of the payment system, which is currently disadvantaging the new entrance into the sector, because they still go back to well back. For instance, you can give an example of the VBS bank and its attempt to try and be surrounded by all these big road players. Of course, there was an important entrance into the market. And we also believe that the committee should pass strict legislation on community investment, particularly a portion of profits of the banking sector to be deployed into productive sector of the economy, into development areas, for instance, commitment into education, particularly higher education, and other methods of training for South African people, in particular the youth, is critical in this regard. And we want to say that we welcome the community and all other South Africans that are committed to transmission of this sector as a Communist Party, as we've already mobilized a large section of our community in this regard. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for taking the time. Thank you very much, General Secretary. Right. Then can we please move on to the
Finance. Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the Financial Affordability Committee on Transformation, members of Parliament. We welcome this opportunity to present in terms of our position with regard to transformation in the financial services sector. By way of introduction, my name is Israel Mogo. I'm a board member of Microfinance South Africa. We are an NGO, we are self-funded, and we represent over 1,150 microlenders in the country as well as credit providers and service providers in our country. And I can see that there are in terms of my credentials and position based on a number of different corporations with regards to transformation in our country. I'm joined by this afternoon by the CEO of Microfinance South Africa, Henny Ferreira. Henny himself has been in the industry for a number of years, working in the payment system, and has worked with a number of key stakeholders in this industry, and we're very pleased here to be here today. I think from the outset, I'd just like to point out that for us as an organized business, we celebrate our 21 years as an organized business association. And I think it's important that people get reminded of that because we have been operating in a democratic South Africa. We have been operating in a landscape where transformation has existed. And we are extremely passionate and extremely keen to make sure that transformation doesn't just only hit on the upper part of society, but at the grassroots too. I think it's also important to note that in the last 22 years of our democracy, that we've actually gone through four phases of empowerment, or four phases of transformation. The first phase was at the birth of the enactment of our constitution, where we were all given our democratic rights, freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of work, and etc. The next phase was the enactment of the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Act of 2003. And in that piece of legislation, speaking as a lawyer, one of the shortest pieces of legislation that I've ever read, about 8 pages long, it only really says two things. The first thing it does is that it gives a definition of who a black person is, and the second thing it does is that it authorizes the Minister of Trade and Industry to create an environment for BE to flourish. And the third phase was the presenting of the broad-based BE Code of Good Practice. This is where industry at large, as well as the financial services industry, could participate actively by demonstrating their commitment towards transformation by producing a BE scorecard. And now we find ourselves in 2017 in the fourth phase of transformation. We've already seen the presenting of the amended BE codes, we've already seen the enactment of the BE legislation, and now we have an opportunity to address some of the challenges that we have in our financial services. And I'm very happy to highlight some of those. The reality has been is that transformation has been extremely slow. It's been a lot of hard work, and it's been an uphill battle. It's been argued that it's still business as usual for the banks, and that the small players, especially small businesses, almost do not have any role to play in this regard for going forward. But there are signs that there are exciting things to come, new exciting things to come, and we are very keen to be playing in this journey. So, from a legislation perspective, we've kind of gone through quite an exciting number of different things. From a base of zero, we went through the MFRC, and now we're in an environment where we have the credit regulator as well as the national credit legislation. In terms of our reputation, this is something that's always been contentious with us. I need to point out that we are an organization that is about reputable microfinancers. We want to make sure that all those people that are playing and operating underground come out of the underground environment and get themselves registered with the credit association. Our mission is to promote the interests of all our members through their clients. So it's advocacy, member interactions, and development that we're very keen on doing. And our vision in the long term is to ensure sustainable microfinancing industry at large. Our values is that we are promoting ethical conduct and client care. So we're not just about an industry that wants to serve their load, you know, and just walk away with money. But we certainly want to make opportunities welcome for the purpose of education, small businesses, as well as housing. In terms of our membership base, 95% of our membership base is small business. enterprises. Revenue of under 10 million rand, and by default and by legislation requirements, where most of them are deemed to be a level 4B for the service. Our membership, however, under the current economic environment and the legislation requirements for regulating our industry, has seen a significant decline in our membership base, and therefore this is having a huge impact on the number of small businesses that are able to operate and continue creating jobs in the current environment that we have. What I have over here, and again, this is about perception, because most of the time people think that microlenders are simply white male figures, but in actual fact, the majority of microlenders come from various different communities. So we host a number of contact sessions across the country, in the most rural parts of our countries, as well as in the townships of our countries as well. And this is